Welcome to GhostBiz here on Nova 103.5. I'm Gary Strubel, and every week I get to talk to the finance ghost to find out what's going on in the markets here in Southern Africa, as well as occasionally from around the world. Ghost, let's start out this week with Tiger Brands, who've announced they're selling off their baby wellness division or unit. Now, given Africa is a young continent and proportionately most countries have more than 50% of their population under the age of 18, there is a baby boom happening. Does this make sense for Tiger Brands?
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners. Yeah, interesting points about Africa being a younger continent. I think that's valid. However, it's also not something that isn't known to people. So I guess the point I'm trying to make there is that, yes, it might be a younger continent, but it all comes down to how well you can actually compete. And Tiger Brands has taken a look at its whole business. And, you know, bear in mind, they've come from some really, really tough times. And typically in those scenarios, an improvement plan looks like basically a strategy of saying, you know what are we actually good at? What are we not so good at? And if we're not so good at it, can we not sell it to someone who is good at it? And we can then get paid out for it. So that's essentially what they are doing here, is they're not saying, hey, we're terrible at baby well-being, or it's not a segment we want to be in. In fact, they've specifically said that baby nutrition through their Purity brand is where they want to be. They are instead selling off some of the other peripheral stuff, you know, like Elizabeth Ann's baby oil and all that kind of stuff is now heading off to a new owner. They haven't actually disclosed who the purchaser is. It's all quite mysterious. So interesting one there. I mean, obviously that will not stay a secret forever, frankly, because it's going to go through the Comp-Com, and in any event, it'll be on the back of a bottle of these products at some point when the thing changes hands. But yeah, for now, it's just Tiger looking at this and saying, okay, what are we good at? What should we be focusing on? And if we're not good at it, move on.
Let's move our attention down to the financial services sector. And I love the headline. There's momentum at momentum. But it's interesting to see which pockets of business are doing well. And I was specifically interested to see India popping its head out. Tell us more about what's going on with momentum.
So momentum is one of those typical large financial services groups that has a whole bunch of things going on. Quite hard. Look, I've got to say, it's quite a specialist space, the sort of life insurance, etc. It's all about the value of new business and all about these actuarial models that get run. And it is quite complicated. It's certainly not a space that I profess to be any kind of expert in whatsoever. But you can have a look at how these businesses make money. And at the moment, at Momentum, you know, like any business, you don't need to be an actuary to understand when a business says, hey, you know, we're really focusing on margin right now. Volumes seem to be a little bit less of a priority at this exact moment. They would rather make sure they're writing quality business. And they also need to get some of their expenses in line. So even before we get to India, you know, I had a look at their expense growth and it's sitting above inflation. Now, some of this is because of long-term incentives linked to the share price. And as the share price has done quite well, that then becomes more expensive, ironically. But, you know, there's more to it than that. They do need to actually do some cost management. They acknowledge this in their reporting. And in terms of India, Momentum is not the only local financial services group with a business in India. Of course, Sanlam should spring to mind now as well. And, you know, India is just this really great growth area. Now, that's not to say that every business in India makes money. Of course not. And it's also not to say that every business in India makes money every year, not even the good ones. But I think Momentum, like some of its peers, has looked at the Indian markets and said, you know what, this is a place that we can play. It is it's the world's biggest democracy, essentially, and it's a very services-based economy. It's a pretty highly educated, you know, population. It's really an interesting market. The Indian market has way outperformed China in terms of equity returns in their index over the past few years. And so that general wealth creation, yes, it's still a very poor country, you know, but there's wealth creation happening there. People are moving up the income curve. And as they do, there's opportunity for financial services.
Now, as you know, one of the bits I like digging into in your most excellent newsletter is the Nibbles section, which tells us often what's going on with directors and other little bits of news. Adrian Gore, CEO of Discovery, sold shares with 108 million rand. Should we be worried about Discovery?
No, that's an interesting one. So what happens there is often these corporate execs and these founders who are sitting on vast numbers of shares and percentage shareholdings and huge value will put in place hedging transactions like a collar, for example. That's just one of the structures that can be put in place. where basically what they do is they protect some of the downside. So they put in place an option at a strike price further down from the current price. And they say, look, even if the price goes lower than that, we are now protected. But in order to achieve that and to make it work, they then have to go and put in an option at the other end of the spectrum to say, you know, fair enough, we've got downside protection, but we're going to give away some upside. So if the share price ends above a certain level, then whoever is on the other side of that option structure, usually a bank, will actually benefit. Now, inevitably, this is all hedged out and the volatility is traded and it all gets quite complicated. And it's also related inevitably to some kind of lending arrangement where a bank says, okay, you've got a huge amount of shares in, for example, Discovery. We will therefore lend you a whole lot of money, but we need to protect ourselves. So we need to put in place a derivative structure that protects against the downside and gives away some of your upside. And that is essentially what's happened here, is that the Discovery share price has actually done better than might have been expected when that trade was originally entered into. The share price now is above the option price to the upside, basically. And that means that the bank has exercised the call option and said, thank you very much. We will take those shares. We will take that benefit. So he's then effectively forced to sell because the option has been exercised against him. So a long answer to a simple question, which is, do you need to be worried about Discovery based on that? Look, you might think of 20 other reasons to be worried about Discovery, but these share sales by Adrian Corr should not be one of them.
Stay with the financial services sector. Old Mutual released some results and it looks pretty good. Most interesting perhaps to just find out is what impact the recently introduced two-pot system for the South African pension fund environment has had on Old Mutual. Do we see these nearly 2.4 billion rand in withdrawal claims coming from Old Mutual clients? Do we see this being positive or negative?
Yeah, so I've seen a number of different schools of thought on this. So obviously, you know, the asset management and pension industry for a very long time has made lots of money by South Africans having to put their capital into these pension funds. It's often a forced save by your employer. And then a whole lot of fees happen in the middle. And if you're lucky, you get a decent return on the other side. But certainly what did happen in that process is a lot of financial services houses made a lot of money. Now, there's been a big change to the South African system. I must be honest with you, I do not have a pension. I do not have a retirement annuity. I like to manage all my own money. The lack of liquidity scares me tremendously. And it seems to scare a lot of people because the two-pot retirement system has led to people putting in huge claims to get their hands on their money. So the way the financial services houses, like a couple of them, are trying to portray this is to say, yes, you know, there are big withdrawals right now, but on the plus side, there's still going to be money locked in and, you know, therefore it's all going to be okay. I guess time will tell. Reality is there's clearly demand from people to get their hands on their money for whatever reason. I hope for good reasons. Unfortunately, I suspect it's more to do things like pay off debt that has just become unsustainable, etc. And again, that's fine if people then learn from it and don't go and just ramp up the debt again. But sadly, so much of this debt doesn't ramp up because people behave badly or consumers don't know what they're doing. It's because of desperation. It's because of what happened during COVID. It's because people can't get through. So all of that is not good. I'll actually point to Coronation, who came out the other day and said, you know, we are in a country where people are not saving. They are withdrawing all the time. So on average, we expect outflows. So obviously that's a bit different to an Old Mutual situation. And to be honest, I also think it's a bit of a cop-out by Coronation. They're kind of just sitting back and saying, well, sorry, you know, what can we do? What can we do differently? But it does also show that there is still this problem in South Africa around savings culture and around the ability to save. And I think these two-pot withdrawals are just showing how severe it is. I mean, just Old Mutual has had claims of 2.4 billion rands worth of withdrawals. Just a final fun thing, though, I will say this is why I'm happy to be a Meta shareholder, is that WhatsApp, Old Mutual decided to use WhatsApp as the method of communication here. Now, that might sound silly because WhatsApp is free. Well, that's the point. WhatsApp is free for you and me. WhatsApp is not free for businesses who want to use it for stuff like this. So what's happened is Meta has gone and created this enormous user base of WhatsApp users, and it becomes a very effective way for businesses to engage with their clients, naturally, for a fee. So a bit left field there, but just a reminder of why these US tech companies are just so powerful. You just see them everywhere.
Right, Ghost, we'll leave you to float off. Thank you very much. Have a good week. Christmas is coming, and I don't know what ghosts do over Christmas, but we'll certainly find out in a few weeks. But until then, we'll chat to you again next week. That's it for this week's edition of GhostBiz. Remember, you can get this if you missed a bit. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can download this particular segment as well as the entire show, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can stream it on nova.com.na.